From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series of studies in the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject which is sadly neglected in our day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 15 and verse 19. I have chosen you out of the world. Here is distinguishing grace and discriminating regard. For some are made the special objects of divine affection. Do not be afraid to dwell upon this high doctrine of election. When your mind is most heavy and depressed, you will find it to be a bottle of richest cordial. Those who doubt the doctrines of grace, or who cast them into the shade, miss the richest clusters of Eshcol. They lose the wines on the lees well refined, the fat things full of marrow. There is no balm in Gilead comparable to it. If the honey in Jonathan's wood, when but touched, enlightened the eyes, this is honey which will enlighten your heart to love and learn the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Eat, and fear not a surfeit. Live upon this choice dainty, and fear not that it will be too delicate a diet. Eat from the king's table will hurt none of his courtiers. Desire to have your mind enlarged, that you may comprehend more and more the eternal, everlasting, discriminating love of God. When you have mounted as high as election, tarry on its sister mount, the covenant of grace. Covenant engagements are the munitions of stupendous rock behind which we lie entrenched. Covenant engagements with the surety, Christ Jesus, are the quiet resting places of trembling spirits. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, this still is all my strength and stay. If Jesus undertook to bring me to glory, and if the Father promised that He would give me to the Son to be a part of the infinite reward of the travail of His soul, then my soul, till God Himself shall be unfaithful, till Jesus shall cease to be the truth, thou art safe. When David danced before the ark, he told Michael that election made him do so. Come, my soul, exult before the God of grace, and leap for joy of heart.
In the midst of this increasingly secularized and materialistic society, multitudes of men, women, and young people seem to have forgotten that they have immortal souls, and that one day they must stand before a holy God and face the ultimate judgment. Despite every effort to banish the reality of death from the mind, the Word of God declares, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." How can a person be ready for that awful day? Is there a way to face God without fear? The great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon answered this question in a powerful sermon entitled, "Preparing to Meet God." Let the Bible Speak now offers a booklet published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, which contains this vital message under the title, "Preparing to Meet God." In addition to the sermon text, the publication contains a brief biographical sketch of Spurgeon's life, as well as a schedule for reading the Bible through in a year, all contained in an attractive, conveniently sized booklet. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of "Preparing to Meet God," and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. In the current message, he is dealing with the inspiration of the Bible. The text is Ephesians chapter 6, the latter part of verse 17, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." According to both the Old and the New Testaments, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible.
Dr. Karas has been showing that the existence of the sword of the Spirit is divine. Because of that, the excellencies of the Bible surpass those of any literature created by human hands. Now, Dr. Karas continues this message on the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures.
What is the Old Testament? It is the word which the Lord of hosts hath sent in His Spirit by His prophets. Now that's the claim of the Old Testament. It's also the claim of the New Testament, as it confirms the Old. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, or every Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. Every Scripture is God-breathed, as it literally signifies. 2 Peter 1, verse 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, he says, and this is a very, very important reference that we will have caused to return to in a totally different connection. Dr. Barrett has been lecturing on dispensationalism in the Sunday School Hour. This is one of the great focal texts of the Bible in that controversy, where the Apostle Peter looks at the Old Testament prophets and he says that it was the Spirit of Christ that was in them. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of Christ. And what they said, according to Peter, it was the Spirit who signified that. Now let's get this very, very clearly. This is the New Testament, and it's explaining, and it is confirming what the Old Testament claims for itself. Turn to the book of Acts and just see how there you've got the claims of the Old Testament, and they're all well and truly established. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Now let's see it. The Holy Ghost spake it, but he spake it by the mouth of David. That's inspiration. Turn over to Acts. Again, this time in chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. Lord, we're starting in the middle of the verse, Lord, thou art God, which hast made the heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said. So the second psalm came from the mouth of David, but it was God speaking through the mouth of David. Then we turn over to chapter 28, verse 25. This is Paul's final word to the Jews in Rome. Read the last couple of lines of the verse. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, and he goes on to quote. Notice how he leaves the Jews. The Holy Ghost spake by the prophet Isaiah. This comes up again in Hebrews 3 and verse 7, and Hebrews 4 and verse 7. You have the quotation from what David says, and it said, David said this. Today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. But then it says, the Holy Ghost said it. It's exactly the same truth. Inspiration. David said it, but the Holy Spirit actually was the speaker. You get it again in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul, whom I take to be the writer of Hebrews, takes up the same truth. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8. He's looking over the entire area of Exodus, Leviticus, and he says, the Holy Ghost this signifies. Just a wee word in passing. An awful lot of people, when they read Exodus and they read Leviticus, they never understand what the Holy Ghost is signifying. Remember that every part of Scripture is inspired. Every part. I'm going to digress a little. But I'm saying that what the Holy Spirit writes in Scripture, He signifies something. And if you can't see it, then ask the Lord to show you it. When you read the Psalms, for instance, there are many little words that most people now leave out in the reading. The Selah. Doesn't mean anything. It's just a musical command, they think. Though they're not absolutely certain. Or it may mean rest or pause. Fine. If the Holy Ghost wrote it, you read it. It's as simple as that. It's no less inspired than the hallelujahs that you find in the same psalm. And dare any man read the psalms and leave out the hallelujahs? Why then leave out the Selahs? Actually, there's a very great side issue here that you may want to study out on your own. And just see the use that the Holy Ghost makes in Scripture of pauses and silences. And if the Holy Ghost says, Selah, be silent, or pause, or rest, or stop and think, then you do it, but don't leave it out. It's all inspired. The Holy Ghost signifies what is in this book. Now that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Let's turn to a lovely verse in the beginning of Luke's Gospel. This is what the New Testament says for itself. Luke chapter 1, verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Now let's stop there for a minute. Was Luke among the disciples from the very first? Was it? Do you find Luke among the 12? I don't. So what does it mean? Actually, the very first is a very interesting expression. Can, at times, be simply translated that way. But in John chapter 3, you have the same word. You must be born again. Or from above. The word here means simply from above. Now watch it carefully. Here's Luke. I had a perfect understanding of all things from above. That's where he got his information. Man, I hear the arguments and I read the arguments that go on about the documents that lie behind the New Testament Gospels. Scholars have invented what they haven't been able to find. They have given names to non-existent documents. And one fool, oh, he was a very educated fool. He was one of the foremost scholars in Europe, but he was a fool nonetheless. He actually produced the gospel according to Q. Who is Q? Q is the letter. It's taken from a German word that goes for the imaginary document that underlies the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to tell you, Luke did not get his information from some mythical document. Luke did not sit down and copy from Mark and figure out what he could get out of Matthew. I am told by Luke himself that he had a perfect understanding from above. That's where he got it. He got it from the Lord. That's inspiration. Paul the Apostle says the same thing for himself over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 13. What does he say? He says, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And I want you to get this, that the Holy Ghost taught not only the wisdom, but he taught the very words that Paul used to convey the wisdom. That's verbal inspiration. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1 and see how strongly Paul held this. He says, verse 9, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Verse 11, why, how can Paul say that? How can Paul say, let any man who differs from me go to hell? not an awful lot of ecumenical toleration there, is there? How can Paul say that? Well, listen, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why I could say it. The inspired, inerrant word of God. I could go right through the New Testament scriptures again and again and again, did time permit, and show you how the New Testament also claims for itself inspiration. Now, here's the sword. The Bible exists. You can't get around that. The existence of this sword is due not to the genius of Moses, or of David, or of Isaiah, or of Paul. The existence of this sword is due to the Spirit of the living God. That is what the Bible claims. It is the sword of the Spirit. Now we can come to the evidence. Because the second thing I say is this. Not only is the existence of the sword due to the Spirit, but the excellence of the sword is due to its divine maker. Once you accept this biblical testimony, then you can do justice to the facts of Scripture, to the excellencies, as the New, or as the Westminster Confession of Faith calls it. You know, these can't be explained in any other way. If you try to deny that the Bible is what it claims to be, you cannot be honest with that book. Let me go down a list of things that would take a series of messages in themselves if we were to preach on them. But here are the excellencies of the book of God. You take the unity of this book. I've said that it was written over a period of 1.5 millennia. You think of that. Just imagine that we had a book just coming to completion today that started to be written in the days of Augustine, around the 4th and 5th century. Now you just think that we had a book coming to completion, and it was written by 40 different human authors. Tell me, what kind of a book do you think you would have? I challenge you to get any book on even one subject. Take physics. I challenge you to get a book compiled of the writings of 40 different physicists over the last 100 years. And I guarantee that at the end of it, you'll end up with a book that is tearing itself asunder, where one part is mocking the other and contradicting the other. There will be no unity in that book. Now let's select something more difficult. I challenge you to get a book and compile it on the subject of religion from 40 different human authors. And I ask you to select them as carefully as you will, even out of the most narrow theological confines. And I guarantee at the end of it, they'll be contradicting each other, and the book will be marked by utter divisiveness. Whereas here is the book of God. As I say, its pen spans 1,500 years with writers as diverse as the mind of man can conceive. And yet it's not 66 different books. It's one book. One book of God. What a unity there is. Without error. Yes, I believe that. Without error. I don't have all the answers to all the difficulties. I'll have a go at answering them. But no man has all the answers. There are perplexities in the Bible. But there are no errors. I get sick, sore, and tired listening and reading to all the same old tripe that so-called intellectual people turn out attacking the Bible. And they just put it out as if it's proved. For instance, we're told that David paid Ornan, according to which version of his name you want to take, he paid him one sum of money, and then the parallel passage says he paid him another sum of money. So the Bible contradicts itself. Rubbish. In the one part, we're told that he paid him a certain sum of money for a very restricted, specific location where the angel came down and where he wanted to build the altar. But there was a greater transaction where to get that, he decided to buy the whole place. It would be like me saying, I paid $1,000 for that barn, but I paid $50,000 for the farm. Tell me that's a contradiction? No, sir. I'm told that Stephen contradicted the Old Testament when it came to the burying places of the patriarchs. I'm not going to take time to go into all those answers. But I simply say this, if people would read the Bible, they would find out that the Bible does not make errors. No contradictions, no errors. One book. Now that's a miracle.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.